Sai che sola non ti lascio mai. Sei le mie gioie e tutti i miei guai. Io amo l'Inter.
Welcome, brothers of the world. Bonjour, ciao, hola, hello, guten Tag. This is the official Inter podcast in English.
Che gridai come un pazzo, sia ad ogni gol. E non so quanto assurdo.
Hello, welcome. I am your host, Richard Hall. And wow, it's nearly here. We can tell that the Scudetto is so close. It's been a fantastic season, that's for sure. And we know that if the Derby della Madonnina that is on the doorstep goes in our way, it's going to be quite an incredible scene in Milan on Monday night. It's one of the games where we have to sometimes take stock of just how well we've done this season, look at some of the results, and look at the job that Simone Inzaghi has done. Look at the job that every single person in the club has done to pull this together, to make the squad able to perform as well as they've been able to. And we have to be incredibly, incredibly proud of the boys. So I'm going to give you the intro to the show as soon. Well, I'll do it in a second. Okay, so we have a packed show for you today. Really got to make sure we get everything in because we need to talk about a couple of things. One, I've just returned from Italy and Milan and obviously San Siro. So I want to discuss the game against Cagliari. Just talk a little bit about just how great it was to, you know, be amongst the fans and how good it was to see people at the club and just really, really taking that atmosphere. It was almost like the pre-party for what's to come. And wow, if that was a pre-party, then what's it going to be like this weekend? it's going to be something else. Which brings me on to the next part of the show. Obviously, we need to talk about that game that's coming up, the Derby della Madonnina. Can Inter get their second star? The clock's ticking. It's just a matter of time. This is the Derby of 20. And this is one where if Inter win, it's just simply going to lift the roof off. Remember, I mean, look, it's not the end of the world if we don't, but I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about Torino, the game there. I don't want to talk about Juventus versus Milan. I want to talk about that game, Milan-Inter, and we will get into that very, very soon. And finally, very finally, I want to talk about something, as I always do, back in the past. Now, guess what, guys? For once, I'm not going back into the 1980s or 90s. No, I'm going a little bit further back to one of the most rarely talked about and most bizarre derbies I think I've ever heard of. As you know, I love the history of Inter. I love trawling back over the history books of this great club and really understanding what brings our history out to the form, why it's so important to be Nerazzurri. And this game, really, I think that you all should have a good listen to it because it's pretty crazy. I'm not making it up. It's not a story. This is fact. And I'm really looking forward to talking about the derby. Yes, and before I say this, I'm not drunk. This is the Derby of the Lemon. Okay, so, wow, what a weekend. What a weekend indeed. Inter Cagliari was disappointing in the result. Look, I'll talk about the game and do an overview, but first of all, one, it was, obviously, it's always great for me when I get back, you know, I spend my time between Italy and the UK, as you all know, and it's always good to go back. The boys at Inter really helped me out and were very, very kind to me and very, very hospitable. It's good to touch base with some old faces and some new. And yeah, I mean, I was privileged enough to be in the Hall of Fame, not literally, not me personally, but actually just in the area, you know, not actually how you do a podcast. Although I'd take it if anyone wants to put me up for a nomination, I jest. No, but on a serious note, the Hall of Fame and the experience is something else. I recommend it to anyone who can do that. I felt very privileged. It was a fantastic just environment to be around. It was great to be around the fans before the game. The way they welcome the team's always spectacular. There's such optimism. It was a good 26, 27 degrees. It was hot. It was the fans were gathering in the Piazza Duomo early. They're all around the city. There was a real feeling that, you know, we're really going to push on. And to be fair, in that game, I thought that Inter played well, especially in the first half. I thought that, you know, yeah, okay, we didn't quite cut off some avenues for Cagliari. But, you know, look, 2-2, it is what it is. I'll go through that game in a little bit of detail first, but realistically, and then I want to just come back to the atmosphere in the beginning of that game. Well, I'll talk about that now because it makes sense to do things in order. But I think one of the things where we should really look at is the build-up to Inter games now is on a different scale. I mean, the light shows, it's just amazing. The Curva Nord, as one, were just absolutely spectacular. But what's great, and from being, you know, listen, from going and seeing Inter since, I can't remember, since as a young boy, I've seen all sorts of atmospheres. You know, I've seen it in sometimes in, when we look, every club has bad points. And you know, I saw the club in 2015 and 2000. I remember one particularly unfortunate game against Brescia in 2011. When Benitez had come in as manager after the Triplete. And I think we only had about 20,000 then. It was just a really, Italian football was in the doldrums. But to go from, but you support your club through everything, of course. But to see where the club is at the moment, it's just, you know, when you've seen a lot of it, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, you know, it's incredible. And the mood is just fantastic. And I just feel as Inter seem to have a real family feel around the club, a real direction. The fans, the staff, the players, the coach, the media team, everyone's going in the right direction, the same direction, and that direction's to 20. That's it, the derby of 20 I keep talking about. But that second star, that's what we want, that's what we're going to get this season, and it's just a matter of when. So the beginning of that game, you know, look, when the teams come out, the appreciation for the players, it's on a different level. So yeah, really, it was incredible. The game itself, look, I'll go through a little bit in detail. I mean, look, Claudio Ranieri, let's be honest. If we're going to look at this, he did put a bit of a, he did stop us in our tracks a little bit to go towards the Scudetto. And it was a bit of a controversial 2-2 draw. So, you know, yeah, look, but if we beat our rivals, Milan, we'll get the Scudetto on Monday, the 22nd of April. So it's good news because Milan were held to a 3-3 draw. And then obviously we went and played afterwards. Which, wow, you know, that to get the 20th title in the derby would be spectacular. Obviously, we didn't have Lautaro, we didn't have Benjamin Pavard. They set out with bans. Obviously, as well, Stefan de Vrij, Juan Cuadrado were back on the bench. But the Sardinians, you know, they had Nathan Nandez and Deola suspended. But yeah, look, I mean, look, this game really was one where I think if Inter had probably just taken one chance more, this would have been out of sight. Unfortunately, it wasn't. I mean, Barella tested Scufe early on. What a volley that was. That was incredible. And then DeMarco volleyed across the face of the goal from that, from Alexis Sanchez assist. You know, I don't know, Livumbo cut inside. He had that left foot curl, if I remember, just wide. But then we took the lead when Sanchez ran onto that Darmian pass and pulled back. And look, Thuram, tap him. And he celebrated using Lautaro's usual gesture. And that was a moment of togetherness, which I absolutely loved. It was an historic moment, setting a club a new record, 40 consecutive Serie A matches with at least scoring one goal. So, you know, look, Barella had the ball in the net. What a header, by the way. What a shame that didn't count. That would have been fantastic. But, he'd wandered it offside on DeMarco's efforts. Got to give credit to Claudio Ranieri because he switched his midfield around. There's a tactical change on 28 minutes. when he replaced Jakub Jankto. And it remained open, if I'm honest. Barella was so good, charging down the genre of effort. And then we saw Scufe, the once, you know, everyone professed he was going to be spectacular, and he made a brilliant save from Di Marco. Spectacular volley. Good save, really good save. Sommer did well from Aubert. And then Çalhanoğlu again, Scufe parried. And then, yeah, Calgary equalised with Luvumbo with back to goal. Knocked down a long ball, long Obert ball, allowing Chudmarov to steer the finish between Bastoni's legs. So that was a bit unfortunate. So, yeah, if you didn't see the game, please go back and watch it, because it was exciting, if anything else. We saw, obviously, Çalhanoğlu with another penalty, which was absolutely... when he just doesn't miss, does he now? He just does not miss. But it wasn't over, because, like, relegation threat and Cagliari, they got back on track in what was controversial circumstances. A header over the top. It sort of was knocked down by Lapadula, I think by using an arm. And Viola, he did well to use his body to turn a Cherubi, and look, the equaliser was there. So that was it. 2-2. The game was exciting, but the feeling for me, that party still started. And even if we'd have beaten Cagliari, look, you know, we're going to have to go to Milan and we need to beat them. So it's a home game for Milan, but let's go and do it. Okay, back again. And so we talked about the Milan game. And it's really important that we go into detail with that. It's a derby. Every single derby is massively important. We know that. We know that there's going to be quite an atmosphere, because the Rossoneri will not want us to win a title that they are still chasing. But look, it's something that we have to do, and I believe we are more than capable of doing so. There's been a lot of talk, of course, in the papers about this in the week. I think that Inter, I don't know. I think the Inter, how can I put this in the most polite way? I think Inter, I think Inter are a much, much stronger squad. I think we've got more strength in depth, and I think that that game on Monday will see us cope with the pressure. I think Inter have got the experience, especially from what happened in the Champions League last season. I think we've gained in confidence. I think the way the players are looking at the game is better. And in a weird way, that draw against Cagliari may benefit us, because it makes us sharper. So let's just quickly look at what the papers are predicting as of today, at the time of recording. It looks as though... it looks like we'll start. And this is not an Inter prediction. This is the media and what people are looking at. So this is me pulling everything together from the main papers and the headlines, the TV, and looking at what it looks likely Inzaghi will do. Predictions are early. They change, remember. So please don't count on this. But it looks as though we're going to have Jan Sommer in goal with Pavard, Acerbi and Bastoni. And then with potentially Darmian, of course, Di Marco, Çalhanoğlu, Mkhitaryan, and then obviously Thuram, Barella, Thuram, and Lautaro. So that's where they're looking at the moment. So we will see. We shall see if that's going to be the how that works out. I think that if that is the case, then it will be very difficult for Milan to break us down. Personally, I think it will be very difficult indeed, because let's face it, the Milan squad is extremely good. We know that. But when you also look at the facts of even the fact that they're starting with Giroud up front, while Giroud is an excellent player and very dangerous, especially in big games, it's going to be, I think, the firepower that Inter have. Is so good, and I just think that the magnitude of the game will take us through this, because I think that Inter have of course got more more in their arsenal. As simply as that. As simple as that. I think we were quite... I think the Inzaghi would be annoyed about the way that we did let Cagliari break on us. But then again, obviously, you know, we've got to be careful of that with Rafael Leao when we play play Milan, of course, because that's going to be quite the worry. But overall, it looks as though it could be interesting. Because, look, at the end of the day, it's a derby winning Inter win a Serie A title in the second star, as we said. And it's an unprecedented chance to score to secure all three of those achievements against Milan on Monday. It's more than just bragging rights from a city. I mean, Mkhitaryan, Henrik Mkhitaryan was quoted as saying it's an incredible opportunity. And I think that the team know that. I think that they know the importance of this game. They're entering the game with a 14-point advantage. Let's get that straight. 14 points over second place Milan. And we can stretch our lead to an insurmountable 17 points with 5 rounds remaining. And that second star would look nice on everybody's shirt next season, as I'm sure you will agree. Obviously, that's awarded the star for every 10 titles. And Inter and Milan have each won 19. So that's another reason that Milan won't want us to win that. And only Juventus, you've got 36. And therefore have 3 stars. They've won more. So, quick quote here. We're almost at the top of a mountain and we can't wait to see the view. What a quote. But we're not quite there yet. So that's Simone Inzaghi, who said that after he knew he was poised to win his first league title as a coach. And he thought, we still need some points and we want to get them as soon as possible. So Milan, as I said, are the home club, and most of San Siro will be decked out in red and black. But there will, of course, be the Curva Nord. And Milan will be very motivated, because let's not forget, we routed the Rossoneri 5-1 in this season's first derby back in September. Just let me repeat that, we beat them 5-1 back in September. So, you know, look, Inter beat Milan in both legs of the Champions League semi-finals last season as well. So this is when I was going back to the Champions League conversation before. We have the record down. We did win the Super Cup, of course, in Saudi Arabia against Milan. We had a tough run with the games we had to play in that, so we beat them there as well. So yeah, you look at it and we've got the ability, we've got the experience. Of course, you know, there's concern over victory parades, but that will be, I'm sure, I think that all precautions have been taken, both from in the club and with outside the club as well. But it does seem whatever happens, a trophy is certainly on the cards. Whether it's in a derby or not, who knows, but we will see. Okay, now, whilst the excitement for the derby is there, I just want to quickly talk about a very crazy game, another Milan derby, way, way, way back when. Okay, guys, get in your time capsules and travel back with me. We are going back to 1957-1958. And it's only a quick story, but it's a crazy one, and I want you to hear it. So this is back in the 6th of October, 1957. Inter at home for this one, I should say, against Milan in San Siro. Lo Bello is the referee. And it's important that. And Inter have a squad that contains the likes. I just put a few names out there for you who enjoy your history. You know, the likes of, excuse me, Lennart Skoglund, Mario Corso, personal favourite of mine, what a wonderful chap. Marco Savioni, the likes of, I don't know, let's go with Antonio Agnelio. He came in that season. I could go on, but that squad was exceptional. Interestingly, for you and of English football knowledge, Jesse Carver was our coach that year, and the president was Angelo Moratti. It was interesting. It was interesting this season. It was fantastic. Beautiful shirt that year, as we know. They're one that was quite unchanged for some time. Inter were going into this Milan derby after they drew in the opening day 0-0 with Torino, lost 2-0 to Spal before hammering Lazio 5-2. Can I just say that Skoglund scored 1, 2, 3 goals that game? Oh no, 2 goals that game, sorry. and Agnello got a hat-trick. There was also then a 0-0 draw with Padova before Inter played Milan. So why, you say, why have I picked this random derby of that season? And that is because this was a derby of the lemon. So let me take you back. Imagine San Siro, full of Milan and Inter supporters, and the cry comes out, poison, poison. He's just going around the crowd, everyone is shouting, poison. The shouts reverberated around San Siro as the outraged Milanese pointed, gesticulated, threatened, poison, mother of God, the lemon, the lemon. Bizarre, isn't it? But these bizarre words and accusations were ignored by the referee. Tito Cucciana stepped up and to his surprise sent the ball flying over the crossbar and into the stands. He looked baffled at the ball's trajectory and the shouts of poison continued in the derby of the... Then the derby of the lemon was pretty much born. As I said, it's a 57-58 campaign. Juventus will be crowned champions. Napoli being the only team to come close to challenging him, and both Milan clubs personally... They went to the opposite end of the table, end of the campaign in mid-table obscurity, but they were not known. They did not know this really at that time when they first faced off in the early season in the Derby della Madonnina. It was only the fifth game of the campaign, as I've said. Lobello would have been satisfied with the game, apart from the fact it would have been pretty uneventful if it wasn't for what a certain Benito Lorenzi had in store. So Lorenzi had been signed by Inter in 1947 from Empoli for 12 million lira. The attacking style he brought and his die-hard nature made him a fan's favourite, and he netted 138 times in only 300 outings for the club. And surprisingly, only getting 14 games for the Azzurri. He was an unpredictable footballer and he always had a lot to say, and he showed a huge desire to win. His mother had given him the nickname Veleno. Poison for his liveliness, and it was a name the Rossoneri would never forget. And so it became known on that day in 1957, with the game offering little but a glimpse into what their seasons would become, Veleno would strike. Lorenzi went down in the Milan box, and by all accounts of the day, it looked like a clear penalty. But the mischievous nature of the man fouled caused the Milan fans to curse his name. Defender Guido Vicenzi promptly dispatched the kick. And the Nerazzurri were thinking, great, that's it. They're ahead. 1-0. They decided to shut up shop and see out the final 36 minutes of the game. Perhaps Inter had settled from their celebrations. And then 3 minutes later, though, well, they hadn't settled from the celebrations because defender Giorgio Bernardini fouled Milan's Pepe Schifano. And Lobello had no problem saying, no, penalty, second penalty. Probably an easy decision. The Inter fans were flabbergasted with the decision, and they surrounded the referee. Sorry, the Inter players were flabbergasted with their decision. They surrounded the ref, and Lobello thought this is going out of control. But Lobello stuck to his decision, and he could not get the home team players to stand down. This was under Milan's curva, of course. The Rossoneri fans had fuel to the fire, cheering frantically about the decision, and everything was going a bit crazy. Lorenzi hadn't taken part in the process, though. Now, he instead had gone over to the water and the lemons that were on the pitch at the side for refreshment. It was only he was sucking on a lemon and he had an idea, and this would go down in history. And this is a quote. Walking with the lemon in my hand, I saw that Cucciaroni was looking at the referee to his right. And Benito later explained, I instinctively took a lemon and put it under the ball. The Milan fans were shouting, mother of God, mother of God. The lemon, the lemon. Cicciarone took the kick and he missed by 6 metres. The match finished 1-0 and we won. I flew off quickly because lots of the fans wanted to jump on the pitch, and so I got into the changing room straight away. Witnesses claim that straight after the miss, the chance of poison was still ringing in the stands. Lorenzi hugged his goalkeeper, and whilst the celebrations were going on, he nonchalantly kicked away the lemon. The game eventually erupted to the point where a brawl started out and it went into the changing rooms, but guess what? Benito, he'd gone. It's perhaps one of the most iconic lines in all time when everyone's shouting, poison, poison. And it was years later before Lorenzi confessed to a priest of all people. The priest quickly forgave him. And not without a chuckle. The clergyman, guess what? He was an Inter fan. So there ends the story of the Derby of the Lemon. I hope you liked it. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Forza Inter, let's go and win the Scudetto. Come on, Inter. We will do this against Milan. I hope you're with me. Wherever you're watching that, in the stadium, in Milan, all over the world, you will all be behind the club, as I am, as we all are. And here's to that second star. Ciao for now.